I was standing in a pulpit doing this sermon on Good Friday, I was contemplating and planning my own death.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Today what I'm going to talk to you about is the story of depression and mental illness, and especially the story of how this fits with the gospel and what incredible treasures we have as Lutherans who kind of get two kingdoms, body, soul, and spirit, who understand what it means to suffer.
You can listen to Pastor Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression, on an audio DVD from both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
If Jesus Christ gets down off the cross and told me Trump is with Russia, I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
When the dark gets darker, the light's going to get lighter. And people are going to be drawn, not because it's what is similar, but it's what is different.
They, in fact, are not Catholic. They are more Roman than they are Catholic. We Lutherans are the true Catholics because we are maintaining the Church's historic doctrine and practice.
The strength of our faith is not some sort of quality in the heart. It's knowing what God has promised.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
Well, on the day before Thanksgiving, before everyone gathers to give thanks, gathers to eat that Thanksgiving feast, we thought we'd catch up on a little housekeeping. For us, that means going through listener email that has a tendency to pile up until we respond to it as much as we can on the air, and the Issues Etc. comment line. If you've emailed us recently, you haven't heard a response. Hopefully, we might be able to get to yours during this hour. If you've left a comment, well, we'll try and catch up on those as well on this November 21st, the day before Thanksgiving. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to the day of Thanksgiving liturgically with Pastor David Peterson, looking at Luke 17 and the 10 lepers story that is the gospel reading appointed for a national day of Thanksgiving. That's hour two of Issues Etc. That comment line that I mentioned before is always open for you at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, and our email address always open for you as well, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Staying home. Yeah.
What does that entail?
That entails watching grandchildren. Let's see what else.
Well, that's a daily vocation.
That is a daily vocation. So nothing there changes. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It always is, and I resist every attempt on the part of my wife to talk me into leaving town for Thanksgiving. We've done it occasionally, but and now that we've got the grandkids in town, there's less reason for us to pick up and go. And it's really hard to pick up and go when you got grandkids if you want to take them along. So we're staying home. On Thanksgiving Day, we're actually not doing anything because the kids and the grandkids will be doing Thanksgivings with the rest of the family. And then Friday, we'll have our turkey. We got a really nice and, I'm going to say, expensive turkey this year because we went and got one of the... Well, I didn't. My daughter went and got one of the grass-fed, bug-fed, farm-raised turkeys that... And I'm sure it's going to be absolutely delicious. It's going to be great. But we went and got one of those that was alive 5 minutes before I picked it up. So, and now it's been sitting in my daughter's deep freeze and thawing.
It doesn't take like a couple days to de-thaw her.
If you immerse it in water... You have a vessel big enough to immerse the entire thing in water. You can get a frozen turkey to a thawed turkey in about 8 hours.
Okay. So. Any extra security measures at the Wilkin compound for the day of Thanksgiving?
No. I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of household repairs. Last night, I went into our front bathroom turned on the vent fan. Every bathroom needs a vent fan, by the way. A house without vent fans in a bathroom is not a house I'd even want to enter. And it was making like the sound of an old Jewish woman mourning the death of her only son. It was crying out in despair. So I managed to like get up there and lubricate around the bearings of this little motor, and the sound went away, but I didn't fix it. So I'm going to be in the bathroom replacing a vent fan.
Lord Feichner, what's on the docket for your family during Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving Day, we're with my mother, my family, for the noon meal. Then we pack up, put the kids in the car seats. They take a nap. I drive, well, Tori gets a nap too, and I drive to Cape Girardeau, where we have an evening Thanksgiving meal. Spend the weekend down there. We'll come back Saturday evening for divine worship Sunday morning at St. John in Maryville.
Lots of leftovers for Lord Feichner. What do you think? We can get like 2 weeks out of this Thanksgiving?
Three. He's going to get 3 weeks out of this one.
I'm a stickler. I'm a sucker for turkey salad. So, yeah, I'm going to have as much turkey in probably the next week and a half as most people are going to have throughout the whole year. So I'll jam as much as I can in there.
Well, speaking of I said before I resist traveling on Thanksgiving. I think of Thanksgiving as nap day mostly. But, Jeff, you and your family are actually traveling for Thanksgiving, aren't you?
Yes, we are. It's the first for us. I mean, my in-laws live in West County, St. Louis. We live on the Metro East side, so it's usually every other year at the Schwartz's or the Huffman's. However, our oldest son, Justin, plays basketball at Concordia University of Chicago, and their only day off is Thanksgiving Day.
He also goes to school there, too, right?
Yes, he goes to school there. Yeah, but if you ask him, it's probably basketball first and school second.
Is he going to be able to eat Thanksgiving dinner? Because he recently nearly had some teeth knocked out, and is he going to be able to eat Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes, he's supposed to be on a mostly soft diet. He heard he got an injury to his teeth, and one of them got pushed back a little bit, and but I'm sure he'll be chewing with the back teeth, I believe. So, and we'll probably have some of his teammates over who couldn't go home for the Thanksgiving break. And so my sister lives in downtown Chicago. We're going to stay at her condo.
I want you to picture this, folks. I've never been there, but this is what it looks like in my imagination. Lake Michigan, one wall, entire wall of the condo, nothing but glass that looks out over Lake Michigan. That's what I picture.
Well, she just moved to a smaller one. So I don't know about the new one yet. But you did perfectly describe her previous condo. It's in the same building. Joe Madden, the manager for Chicago Cubs, lives in the same building as my sister.
Okay, then.
Yeah. So anyway, so she's coming home to Edwardsville, Illinois. We're going up Chicago and observing Thanksgiving up there. And then Justin has a game, I think, on Saturday nights or Saturday afternoon. So we're going to go to that basketball game at Concordia University of Chicago. Go Cougars. So that's it.
All right. That sounds like Thanksgiving. It only comes but once a year.
And hopefully we're going to visit Dr. Leonard Payton's congregation. We saw him at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Houston. And so we want to make sure we stop by and see his congregation. He said it's less than 2 miles away from Concordia University of Chicago.
So
two miles in Chicago is not 2 miles in greater St. Louis.
No, that's about a half hour drive. You mentioned seeing Dr. Payton and his wife in Houston. Give me your post-Houston conference reaction. How did you think it went?
Well, how many times did you hear me before the conference? If I ever propose doing a second conference in 2018, just shoot me. How many times?
Every day.
Yes. Yes. Now that the conference is over and you hear the feedback from the people, man, I don't know what we're going to do next year. I don't know.
My wife told me that she will shoot you.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to take her. Maybe she went to one of these conferences, you know. But it was, it was really neat. I think almost half of the attendees were from the state of Texas, which isn't exactly, your Bible Belt country. Lots of people from Mississippi and Alabama and the Bible Belt. And boy, do they appreciate Issues, etc.
They were really, really happy we had come down there.
And just assuming you're coming back next year, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it went really well. Speakers were great. Like you said, I think our question and answer roundtable with all the speakers was by far the best we've ever had.
Of the Q&As that we've done.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And so Rod Dreher participated in morning prayer with his rosary, his Eastern Orthodox rosary bead, and said he had no idea Lutherans worship like this.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
That the people have no idea that Lutherans actually worship like the rest of the church. It's sad.
And then Roman Catholic Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris, I don't know if you saw her during the hymn sing. She was belting out the hymns.
Yeah. I thought it was exceeded expectations for me in every respect. The people at Memorial Lutheran, the ladies there, man, did they turn out and help. It was unbelievable. And Dr. Scott Murray, who is the pastor there, you think, oh, you're just going to have the pastor speak at your conference. He hit it out of the park. Absolutely hit it out of the park. So,
till next year. Here we go. I'll tell you what. Have we not? We've been blessed to have been had the abilities to hire Lynn Fredrickson here to kind of be our office administrator.
Yeah, nothing would have happened.
No,
we'd be sitting here. Jeff and I would be sitting here dressed in garbage bags,
in sackcloth and ashes,
and if it weren't for Lynn.
Yes. All right.
Have you noticed this theme? We could say the same thing about Julie Johnson, Julie who keeps the books around here. These women have come in and actually saved us on several occasions.
Yes. Yeah. We get way too much credit. We get all the credit. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So thank you. Thank you, Lynn and Julie. I'll try to get some email for the break.
Let's do it.
All right. This comes from Kathy. She says, I won't give to Lutheran Public Radio and pay for the morose organ solos. Hate them. So if you want my donations, you'll get rid of them. Leave these out. I won't pay for these strange musical preferences. Longtime listener who hates with a passion strange organ solos. Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening, Kathy.
Do you know what Kathy could be referring to?
Well, yeah, there are. First of all, I agree with Kathy. You give me a 5-minute organ piece, I'm lost. So you give me a Paul Mons, great organist. I know he's unbelievable, but I would rather hear the words. So that's what she's referring to. But we do have people. Pastor Jeremy Les just sent me a thing on Facebook. How about doing a like long extended thing of organs with Paul Mons and I know some of the other famous organists.
It's a great suggestion.
On public radio.
Well, I think the theme that runs beneath this concern, at least in your case, Jeff, has to do with musicians who tend to indulge themselves a little too much. We've had cases where we wanted to play a hymn. And we say, okay, here's a hymn in our library that we want to play. Let's go ahead and play it. And what we realize is the actual lead up to the hymn takes about 3 minutes. And then you get the choir singing the hymn that is sometimes drowned out by the organist, often drowned out by the organist or other musicians. And there's so much lead up to this thing that it... You have to kind of draw a line if you're a church musician. And it's hard to do this when we're dealing with recordings, but you got to draw a line when you're a church musician between performance and serving the singing congregation. And I think we should always err on the side of serving the singing congregation. If you're an organist, you think, I have this 3.5-minute prelude to this hymn that I'd like to play on Sunday. Save that for a different time. Save that for when you dedicate the new organ or something like that. Nothing against musicians or organists, but that's not a place to indulge one's fancies. Now, I do want to take issue with one of with Kathy's characterization there, Jeff, and that is she referred to it as a musical preference. It is not the musical preference. It's the library that we have. We have a great library at Lutheran Public Radio of hymns and songs and Bach cantatas. That's a fantastic library. And occasionally you're going to have one in there that has long organ preludes or interludes and things like that. These are the recordings that we have. And if we had more, maybe we need another woman on staff to go through the music and vet it and say, this one probably shouldn't be in the library on a regular or as often rotation because it's got this 5-minute organ interlude in it. So we hear it. We get mixed messages from our listeners when it comes to this stuff. And you can't make everybody happy. But thanks for listening to Sacred Music for the World Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, my name is Elena, and I am a on-demand listener in Kansas. I've been noticing that there's a lot of encore shows that you've been adding for the podcast-type listeners. And something that would be really helpful is if you started actually saying the full date in shows from now on, so that when you do encore shows, people actually have context for what year you're talking about. Because sometimes things come up and having the context of what year it is would be extremely helpful. I've been listening for about a year now, and I've really enjoyed the shows and different presentations that you guys do. Also, I think that it would be useful to give a little context when you do negative comments to advertise the comment line, because it's a little confusing for someone who might just somehow come across the show and they hear this comment about how they think issues, etc., is wrong about some social issue, and it could end up turning some people away who are confessional Lutherans and would otherwise listen because that's all they hear and they're really confused about why you guys would be advertising a comment like that without saying anything with regards to your response to it. Those are just my thoughts. Thank you and keep up the good work.
Well, I'll deal with your second first, and that is we have kind of a long-standing tradition of advertising the Issues Etc. comment line when we can with one of those kind of negative, a lot of times they're just inflammatory comments that we occasionally get. The original one that we had was some guy just ranting and raving for a few minutes telling us that we're all going to hell. And we thought that would make a great ad for the comment line. And why? Not because it represents what you'll hear on the program, but it represents what the comment line is for. The comment line is for anything you want to say in response to the show. We had one of those recently. It's running in the current ad for our comment line. It's there not so much to introduce someone to the show. It's there to remind the listeners that they can call that comment line and say pretty much anything they want to. If they say something, and we're also trying to say, look, if you call and you criticize the show, we are not going to just erase it and act like it never happened. If it's the kind of criticism that we can respond to, we will respond to it on the Issues Etc. comment line, which, by the way, 618-223-8382. As for putting dates on the encore shows, some of these encore shows are getting pretty old. They go back almost 10 years now, and we play them around like holiday time. They are generally evergreen shows. Generally speaking, the date is irrelevant to the conversation. Like, if we're going to be doing something on a hymn study on Now Thank We All Our God for the Thanksgiving break, something like that, that is not bound to any time or place. Now, there may be, in the course of those conversations, references to something that's happening currently during the live broadcast that may confuse people. But actually, I actually kind of lean toward not putting any date reference on those things, because then people who are listening to it aren't like, oh, this show is 10 years old. Maybe I'm not supposed to be listening to it. But no, we replay those encores precisely because they're evergreen. You can listen to them at any time, in any context, and they still hold up after 2, 3, 4, even in some cases, 10 years. When we come back, more of your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Talk back at issuesetc.org or 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. $500, yeah.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Philip Hauser with Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska. We're faithful to the Lutheran confessions as recorded in the Book of Concord, and our services are traditional Eucharistic liturgies in accordance with the ancient texts Saturday evening and Sunday morning. If you're ever in Omaha, come visit us. We're on Lincoln Street between 84th and 96th in Papillion. Our website is lambofgodlcms.org.
How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Katie writes, I'm emailing in response to your segment on the medical perspective on the opioid crisis. I appreciate your program reaching out to a qualified physician and getting his medical expertise on this matter. However, in his commenting on the rise of what he calls overprescribing opioid medications, he comments on how people who have recently undergone a dental procedure, such as an extraction, are getting a handful of opioids to take as an example of overprescribing. As a dentist and also a caring individual who does not want to cause her patients any additional discomfort postoperatively, I often prescribe said medications to my patients for a day or two after extractions, especially if they were particularly traumatic. I know this does not reflect the views of anyone on this show, but I would like listeners of your wonderful show to know that it is normal in most cases to receive a few pain pills in dentistry without getting hooked on opioids. Sorry for being nitpicky, writes Katie. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Katie.
And thank you very much. Actually, just to clarify one thing, we did not approach Dr. Peterson to have that conversation. He actually approached us. We had done a conversation. We had done an interview with a pastor. Was it in Pittsburgh?
Philadelphia, Pastor Rob Kieslowski.
And we talked in passing about the opioid crisis, which he deals with as, in pastoral terms on a regular basis. And then Dr. Peterson, having listened to that interview, contacted us and said, you know, I'd really like to a chance to offer a medical perspective on that. And that was how that interview came about. We were very thankful that he would do that. And we encourage every perspective we can get on this terrible drug crisis, of the opioid crisis. And I think the issue of overprescription was raised by me and not by Dr. Peterson. I actually asked him, is it overprescribed? I'm the one who introduced that idea. He did not do that, but I think he did concur that he thinks it's overprescribed. And what I want to guard against in every case is somehow blaming doctors and physicians for this. Now, there's probably some doctors and physicians who are not as scrupulous as they ought to be. That's why I asked the question about whether or not physicians are aware of the fact that this is, that they are unwittingly part of the crisis. But the other thing that so I don't want to see doctors or physicians or other medical professionals blamed for this. But I also don't want, say, somebody goes to the dentist and says, has a tooth extracted, and then the dentist says, here, here's four or five of these to take home with the prescription. If you need them, take them. If you don't need them, dispose of them. That is certainly a responsible use. I think in any case, we don't want to scare people into thinking, wow, if my doctor gave me something that is an opioid, I'm going to get hooked. Are they addictive? Absolutely, they are addictive. And yet at the same time, we want to be responsible on where we lay the responsibility for this and whether or not we scare people. My experience as a pastor is dealing largely with older people post-surgery who are given opioids for pain relief or who are nearing death and they're worried about even hospice care, something like that, getting opioids where it's the purpose there is purely palliative. But they're often worried, I'm going to get hooked and I don't want to be a drug addict. Who does? So that's my concern there, that kind of cluster of concerns.
Alan writes, hi. My suggestion is that you explore a little bit more the biblical teaching on those who are single. Many of your programs continue to imply, though I'm sure inadvertently, that biblical masculinity and femininity can only be expressed perfectly in marriage. I just finished listening to the show with Rebecca Curtis and Pastor Hemmer. At one point, Jesus is referred to as the perfect man/example of masculinity. At the end of the show, both guests are asked, what are you teaching your daughters and sons about biblical masculinity and femininity? Curtis says, man and wife love each other, take care of each other, and take care of their kids. Pastor Hemmer says, he completely agrees and says the best thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother. Where do singles like Jesus fit into this teaching if the teaching of biblical masculinity and femininity is inherently linked to marriage? How was Jesus a perfect man if he failed to love a wife and have children to love unselfishly? At what point will the guests address more explicitly those who have not been given to marriage at this time and their role? They have been created male and female as well. Or are we only a valid female and male in marriage as the guests seem to suggest? Personally, I don't see that as a scriptural teaching not in line with St. Paul's teaching in Holy Scripture. Thanks for listening and for your thoughtful, engaging teaching/programming. And thank you for listening, Alan.
Well, I don't think either guest, either Pastor Hemmer or Rebecca Curtis, suggested or implied that someone's only a valid male or female when married. I think they would both vehemently deny that. Now, we generally didn't deal with the issue of singleness because the guests were not single. They were both married. Is there something that marriage requires of a man that being single doesn't? Well, yes, obviously. The apostle tells us that a married man is concerned about many things. It also requires, at least the way the Bible teaches about marriage, it also requires a certain kind of self-sacrifice toward his wife. Can that self-sacrifice be exercised that is essential to masculinity? Can that self-sacrifice be exercised apart from being married? Well, it certainly can. It won't be toward a wife. It will be toward some other neighbor. A man can, but the essential definition of masculinity that Pastor Hemmer was dealing with there was one of Christ-like self-giving and self-sacrifice. Does marriage give us a context for living that way? Does marriage require that of a man? And conversely, what makes for femininity of a woman? Yes, it does. But those things that are essential to biblical masculinity and femininity are not exclusive to the marital relationship. They can be exercised and lived outside the bounds of marriage as well in loving self-sacrifice toward all kinds of neighbors. In fact, we can't restrict it for husbands simply to their wives. That self-sacrifice is lived out toward their children, and then, according to the vocation, toward all of their neighbors. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend a little more time going through a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
The point that is the hardest part. If you come, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
So natural law is both outside of us and inside of us.
Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
God has written on the hearts of man his rules for right behavior. Man, in turn, can recognize these rules as he observes moral purposes in the design of the world around him. It is terribly crude to discuss it, but regarding homosexual activity, suffice it to say that nature itself teacheth the man that one of these things does not belong here.
You can listen to Aaron Wolf making the case for natural law on an audio DVD from both Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Two conferences on one DVD. Learn more at issuesetc.org and click on the conference audio DVD logo.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The Issues Etc. book of the month for November is Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition. Now, Luther's Small Catechism is what it's called. It's small. The catechism itself is a very small document. The explanation that follows, which is usually, well, in the form of questions and answers with biblical references, that is to explain what is in the catechism itself in a more detailed way with all kinds of biblical references. That's the only thing that's changed in the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. The explanation has been expanded and modified to kind of keep up with the times that Christians face with increasing distress sometimes from the culture. Find out more about Luther's Small Catechism, 2017 edition, with explanation at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Here's a question from the Issues Etc. comment line about Internet church services.
This is Jason from North Carolina.
I was listening to Larry Peters' podcast on pastoral description and the doctrine of close communion. And he had said that we have separated the church from the Eucharist and the Eucharist from the church. And that's very true, just from a statement that a friend of my wife had said that she was complaining about having work mandatory overtime on Sundays, not being able to get to church. Christian co-worker had said, well, just do what I do. My church videotapes their church service, and when I have time, I sit down and I watch the service, and that's my church service. And she had said, you know, that's fine for you, but for me, you know, I can't receive communion. You have to go to church to receive communion. Didn't quite really make sense to that person, you know, about the importance of taking communion and going to church and taking communion. That was part of their church life. So anyhow, so that I just found that to be very insightful and very true. And he went on to say that we're left with an individual relationship to Jesus where the church is optional at best and unnecessary at worst. Very true. Thank you.
And all of it hinges, by the way, thank you for your comment, on how one understands a relationship to Jesus. If you understand that as merely a personal, internal thing that you have kind of internally, a little umbilical cord to Jesus that is entirely individual to you, then, of course, you could probably stay home, or you would believe that you could stay home, maybe watch a church service, a sermon or two on the internet or on television, and that's all you need because, after all, that's the only connection. But if we understand a relationship to Jesus being one that is far more tangible, one could, as Saint Paul describes over and over again, being interconnected and connected to Christ as members of his body. This is why the church gathers together, because the members of the body don't scatter themselves all to the four winds. The members of the body seek to be together, to be connected, physically connected. That's why it's not just an analogy, but the analogy is to a body. The person who says, I don't need that, well, Paul addresses that, doesn't he? When he talks about the church as the body and the person says, I don't need you, they've cut themselves off. He says, in terms of the body, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And so with Christ's body, we cannot do that either. Not to mention what you brought up, I think, so wisely, and that is that the sacrament is that connection to Christ. How are we, the body of Christ, connected to Christ? Through his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, something that cannot be delivered via the internet. You know, technology is a great thing, but it's not the answer to everything. It's a great alternative to a lot of things, but it's not an alternative to everything. So while the Word of God, the preaching of God's Word, can be delivered over all kinds of technology, the sacraments, namely, in particular, baptism and the Lord's Supper, require a real connection to somebody. It cannot be done by proxy or someplace else, remotely, virtually. It's simply not the way Christ instituted them. And since we want to stay with Christ's institution of the thing, then we stay with his institution, the way he delivered it to us, and it's not even necessary, really, to say, well, can we do this over the internet? Is there an alternate means of delivering this over the internet? It should not even really be a question in our mind, since Christ's institution gathers people together around a table in his name, with his word, to receive in their mouths, from the hand of a man called to do so, his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. You know, you want to talk about a relationship to Jesus? That's a relationship to Jesus.
Mark writes, thank you for your recent episode on closed communion with Pastor Larry Peters. Could you please help me find more discussion on this topic in the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord?
Okay, that's an excellent question. And, you know, I have sadly heard Lutheran pastors say, well, close communion is a fine policy, although fewer and fewer say that nowadays. Close communion is a fine policy, but it's not really in the Lutheran confessions. It is. First of all, we got to understand that the Lutheran confessions, if you would have said, why don't you have an article on closed communion? They would say, why do we need one? That was assumed on their part, that there would be communion only for those who know, in the terms of the confessions put it, what it is and why they come, and that the boundaries of fellowship would be drawn based upon not only what one believes, teaches, and confesses about the body and blood of Christ in the supper, but those boundaries of fellowship would also be drawn around a full agreement in what they would call the gospel in all its articles. That's what they would have called it. So you ask the question, where can we find this? I'm going to give you some references. Read a few, just so you see what I'm talking about. There's some references from the Lutheran confessions. The first one, I think, is from the Augsburg Confession. Now, this is what it says. This is Augsburg Confession 24, beginning at 35. As well as the Lutheran Confession says, thus the Mass is preserved among us in its proper use, the use which was formerly observed in the Church and which can be proved by St. Paul's statement, 1 Corinthians 11:20 and following, and by many statements of the Fathers. For Chrysostom reports how the priest stood every day, inviting some to communion and forbidding others to approach. That's from not just the Lutheran Confession, that's from the Augsburg Confession. They acknowledged there that they practiced closed communion in the ancient form of inviting some to commune and forbidding others to approach. If that isn't closed communion in the Lutheran confessions, I don't know what is. There's also the Apology, in which they write, in our churches, the use of the sacrament is more frequent and more devout. It is people who use it, and this is only when they have been instructed and examined. They are fully aware of the need to draw the boundary of fellowship at the Lord's table on the basis not only of who receive worthily, that is faith in these words, but also who have been instructed and examined. So the whole thing that we call closed communion is already in just two references found in the Lutheran confessions. You say, well, just two references, that's all you need. I would also add the preface of the Large Catechism, where Luther talks about people who receive the Lord's Supper should not be reckoned among Christians or nor admitted to the sacrament. And he lists there, what does he say? The incompetent, those who come to the sacrament, who ought to know more or have a fuller understanding of all Christian doctrine than children and beginners at school. So he talks there about some being excluded from the sacrament, the preface to the Large Catechism. And then finally, with regard to communion fellowship, Luther says, and he's quoted actually in the Formula of Concord, the Solid Declaration in 7, saying, I reckon them as, talking about the sacramentarians, these are people who did not believe in the bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament. I reckon them as belonging together with the enthusiasts, for that is what they are who will not believe that the Lord's bread in the supper is his true and natural body, which the godless or Judas receive orally as well as St. Peter and all the saints. Whoever, I say, will not believe this, this is Luther writing himself, will please let me alone and expect no fellowship from me. That's Luther being quoted in the Formula of Concord about who, with whom he will have fellowship over the issue of the Lord's Supper. So closed communion is in the Lutheran confessions. Lutherans need not get weak knees about this practice that is not only ancient and historic, but fully biblical, and in our case, confessional too. We'll be right back.
I ain't got time to take no fasting. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Are you thankful for the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc.?
please consider making a special Thanksgiving gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 6 weeks left in 2017, we're approximately $97,000 short of expenses. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. What's next?
Let's see. This comes from Jeff. He writes, I am a 41-year-old Lutheran listener of Lutheran Talk Radio and Lutheran Music Stations. Thanks for listening. We appreciate that, Jeff. Listening to both of our 24/7 stations. My wife, two teenage boys, and I live in windy and cold Winkler, Manitoba, Canada. Recently, I watched a video on YouTube called The Gospel of Judas, a National Geographic production. Yes, that title scared me, but it also got my sinful flesh curious. Please remember, I have been raised Lutheran. I believe in one God and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are four Gospels. With that said, and a long story short, some people in the fields of science and archaeology have uncovered some really old papyrus paper that after carbon dating and converting the old script to English, think it is a gospel or account of Judas. Not only this, but they also think that there were up to 30 gospels. These scientists think that a century after our Lord's death and resurrection, that a government official whom had hold of all of the scripts that we have today, and that he destroyed all the other accounts of people who told the story of Jesus. I can only laugh about it or ignore it as I have been taught otherwise. Have you fine people at Issues Etc. heard of such findings? I am really interested in hearing your reply or thoughts on this. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Canada, Jeff.
We've done many interviews on kind of false claims of gospels, gospel, Gnostic gospels, gospel of Thomas, gospel. There's a gospel of Judas. Jeff, who did we talk to again? You told me during the break, but now it escapes me.
Dr. Craig Evans.
Dr. Craig Evans, who is an expert in biblical archaeology and such matters. We've talked with him about those things. Now, let's be very careful. There were circulating, after the time of the composition of the New Testament, there were circulating false gospels. There were false writings. There were writings that were claimed to have been written by this apostle or that apostle, and they are indeed ancient. Some of them may be more ancient than parts of the New Testament. They were false writings. They were recognized by Christians as false writings. They were rejected. And the main evidence of this is that when we go to those old
They're called codices. That's just a fancy word for a book, where Christians began to bind together the books that were that would eventually be recognized as the New Testament, when they began to bind them together, in particular, the Gospels. You will find Matthew, Mark, and Luke bound together. You will find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John bound together sometimes. You'll find Matthew and Luke, or Luke and Mark, bound together. But you never in any of these, and this is the reason when they're bound together, it's very important because they're put together as one book. They're intended to go together. You never find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Judas, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Thomas. It never happens. The earliest Christians saw through these false writings, as ancient as they may be from our perspective, because of what they contained. They didn't speak with one voice with the other Gospels. They contained things that were out of sync with the other Gospels, and in many cases, they might have just been obvious forgeries. So there are ancient documents that make claims of being from this or that apostle or this or that disciple or biblical person, and they're interesting. But by and large, if you read them, you'll realize almost immediately they have very little to do with the Jesus who is presented to us in the four biblical Gospels. So you could go listen to the interview we did with Craig Evans, and we've done others on other false Gospels. Maybe it's time we go back and just kind of do an interview with someone on, they're usually called pseudepigrapha. That's the fancy word for these false writings. That's just a fancy word for false writings. These false writings that in both the Old and the New Testament era claimed to be from a prophet or from Moses or from someone else. And a lot of times these things were written as kind of devotional material. And sometimes they were written by out-and-out heretics, like the Gospel of Thomas, written by out-and-out heretics in order to challenge genuine Christianity.
This comes from Melissa. She says, what's the name of the book about depression and the pastor that talked about it? Can't find it on your website. We recently found Lutheran Talk, Issues, etc. on our Wi-Fi radio and are now listening day and night. I've been away from my Lutheran church for 54 years. We just came back yesterday because of Issues, etc. Attended a conservative church. Do you know of any in our synod near Orrville, Ohio? I love the Missouri Synod. Thanks so much, and may the Lord continue to bless your outreach. Thank you for listening, Melissa.
Okay, I think she's referring to Pastor Todd Peppercorn, his book, which is available free online, called I Trust When Dark My Road. I highly recommend you read this book. Pastor Peppercorn knows whereof he speaks when it comes to Lutherans and mental illness, and he's written about it in that. He's also, he speaks on it regularly. He spoke for our conference back in June, telling his story of depression as a Lutheran pastor. And we've done multiple interviews. If you go to our website and you simply search Todd Peppercorn, spelled with a K, if I'm not mistaken, P-E-P-E-R-K-O-R-N, you will find interviews that we've done with him on Christians and depression. And again, he knows whereof he speaks because he struggles against this himself, as many, many Christians do. And it's good to have a pastor address this because he's addressing it not only as someone who suffers from it, but someone who has, he can't treat himself for this, he can't be his own pastor, but one who has that distinctly pastoral perspective on this problem.
Joe in Ohio writes, your recent program on artificial intelligence, a couple of points. The irony of artificial intelligence as deity is inescapable and demonstrates how Satan is the ultimate master of the counterfeit. Consider scientific naturalism refuses to admit even the idea of intelligent design. One evolutionist, Richard Lewontin, even going so far as to say, we cannot let a divine foot in the door. However, the scientific community is willing to propose that an intelligently designed entity is capable of being seen as a god. Can anything be more ridiculous? Would Richard Dawkins say this of this machine? This complicated thing looks like it was designed for a purpose, but it really wasn't. Thanks for the email, Joe.
That's very good. Smartest listeners in radio. Yeah, it does show that the idols that we construct are always really in our image, aren't they? Water never rises higher than its source. And if the source of the intelligence in the artificial intelligence is just us, it's never going to be anything more than just a funhouse mirror of us. That an artificial intelligence someone would worship as a deity is just another idol. It may be high tech. It may have a great capacity. It may be able to serve humanity in all different kinds of ways, but it can never serve as man's God.
Mark and Diane write, the entire conference in Houston was a pleasure. From the presentations to the opportunities to meet fellow Lutheran Church Missouri Synod believers, the work and organization that went into planning and executing the conference was plainly obvious to us. We look forward to attending another conference in the future. Thanks for the feedback, Mark and Diane.
If you weren't able to attend the conference in Houston or the conference in Collinsville, both of our 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences, you can still have access to every, well, not the experience of being there, but everything that the conference attendees heard on an audio DVD of both conferences for a suggested donation to Issues Etc. of $300, either by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Make sure you write audio DVD in the memo line of the check, or just go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can donate there. A $300 donation gets you the audio DVD of both Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences in Collinsville and in Houston. When we come back, we're going to be looking forward to Thanksgiving Day, the day of Thanksgiving, with Pastor David Peterson.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.